Bible, Acts chapter number 2. Do want to say it is a blessing I hear every now and then. Blessings of the having the services on live stream, and it's a blessing for those who make that possible. This week I got an email from Aggie, this young lady in Hungary that is not allowed to go to church, and but really loves the Lord, and she was looking on the internet for messages from Quantico Baptist and found out that the church was on live stream, and so she listened to the morning service, and then she woke up at got herself up at 1:30 in the morning and listened to the evening service. And she said it was just like heaven. So what a blessing it is to be able to minister God's word in many different places because of that. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 47. We have been... You know, it seems kind of funny to call these Baptist distinctives, because really it's just the Bible. You know, it's just the Bible. And I like the book in the bookstore, The Bible Makes You a Baptist. I like that book because it's the truth. If you believe the Bible and you practice the Bible, well, you're going to be a Baptist. You're not going to be anything else. You're going to be a Baptist. And so it seems a little bit different to talk about the Baptist distinctives when we're just talking about the Bible. But one of the Baptist distinctives that really historically, theologically, is a distinctive of a true Bible-believing church, and distinctive of, in that sense, a Baptist church, is that you have a saved church membership. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You look, obviously, in other places of the Bible. Matthew chapter 28, in the Great Commission, we find that the order here: go ye therefore and teach all nations. The word teach is the word methete, which means to disciple, means to bring them to salvation and to bring them to a commitment to follow Jesus Christ. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, then baptizing them, those committed disciples, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Where is that? That's the local church. People who have committed to following the Word of God, identify themselves as such, and those people are to be taught all things, to observe all things. That's really the whole spirit of, obviously, the New Testament church. So, saved church membership. Obviously, many of the great truths in the Bible are based upon the principle of a saved church membership. Hebrews chapter 10. Turn there. Hebrews chapter 10. And beginning with verse number 21. And having an high priest over the house of God. Hebrews 10:21. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not the forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Obviously, the idea of assembly and provoking one another, all emphasized, well, here are saved people. The saved people are going to assemble together. saved people hold fast the profession of their faith. Saved people consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Saved people have a high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, you know, the whole principle of the Word of God is based on the fact that a church is made up of saved people, and a church has a saved membership. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 obviously tells us about the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 1, 2, it says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And so the church is made up of those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, who've been set apart from the world, set apart unto God for His holy service. They are saints. They have been completely sanctified positionally in Christ, and they are to live like saints, and when they get to heaven, they will be completely free from any taint of sin. And so it's obvious that the Bible teaches saved church membership. I was a member of a church when I wasn't saved. Maybe you, before you were saved, were a member of a church. That church did not believe the Bible. They did not practice the Bible. Because a church is only made, a church, according to the Bible, is only made up of saved people. So then you say, well, what is that place called such and such a church when they don't have a saved church member? Well, it isn't a church. Not according to the Bible. Now, it's some other kind of church, but it isn't a church according to the Bible. And, the Bible teaches a saved church membership. Now, we want to talk about seven reasons, at least seven reasons, why a church must have a saved membership. Seven practical reasons why a church must have a saved membership. Number one, because a church is a living spiritual body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. It's a living spiritual body. The Bible says when one member is honored, the whole body is membered. When one member has a problem, it affects the whole body. Why? Because a church is a living spiritual organism. And you don't come into this church with an infected little toe and your whole body not feel pain. Okay? And one little member. And that happens because a church is a living body. And you decide that you're not going to read your devotions. And you come to church and guess what? Even though nobody knows it except you and God that you didn't read your devotions and you haven't been reading your devotions. It affects the whole body. Whether you know it or not, whether you admit it or not, it affects the whole body. Why? Because the church is a living spiritual body. Now, unsaved people are dead. They're dead in their trespasses and sin. And unsaved people can't be a part of a living spiritual body. Why? Because they're spiritually dead. How'd you like to be dragging around a dead person? Huh? How'd you like to drag around a dead person? You know, they talk about dogs that eat chickens, you know. They say, well, you cure the dog of eating chickens is you take a chicken and tie it around the dog's head, you know, neck, and you let them drag it around for a couple weeks. And all of a sudden they're going to be cured of eating chickens. Well, we never tried that, but we heard about it. How'd you like the churches? Can you imagine a church trying to function dragging around dead people? Okay? And so A church is a living spiritual body. Lost people are spiritually dead, and lost people can only drag down the spiritual life of a church. It doesn't matter if they give $1 million. It doesn't matter if they have a nice smile. It doesn't matter if they're a nice person. If they are lost, they are dragging down the spiritual life of the church. Number two, and these aren't in order, you have to have a saved church membership because lost people don't have the illumination of the Holy Spirit and cannot have strong convictions. First John chapter 2. Notice it says, verse 19 and 20, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have been continued with us. But they went out from us that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. No, it says you know the truth. You know the truth. You know, an unsaved person can't know the truth. An unsaved person can't have strong convictions. An unsaved person can't know what is wrong, and they can't know what is right. They aren't going to have strong convictions. An unsaved person is going to be against every leadership standard you have. They're going to moan, and they're going to complain, and they're going to gripe, and they're going to be against any standard that you have. Why? Because they don't have any convictions. Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And they don't know what truth is. It's a terrible thing for a church to have unsaved church members. They will balk and they will fight leadership standards and convictions and standards. Why? Because they don't believe them. And you know what? They can't believe them. You know why? They're not saved. They don't have the illumination of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the illumination of the Holy Spirit, guess what? You aren't going to have any convictions. You know what the Holy Spirit says, tells you? Hey, that music's wrong. You know, Holy Spirit says, hey, that card game's wrong. Holy Spirit says, hey, that movie's wrong. Holy Spirit does that. You know, unsaved people don't have the Holy Spirit. And they're going to resist the preaching. They're going to resist the preaching. They aren't going to want preaching. They aren't going to want hard preaching. They aren't going to want strong preaching. They aren't going to want thus saith the Lord. Why? Because they don't have the illumination of the Holy Spirit. They don't know what truth is. They're going to be against the Word of God. Notice what it says in John 8, chapter 29. Probably one of the biggest problems today in Baptist churches is unsaved church members. It's probably one of the biggest problems in, actually it's at John 10:29, I'm sorry, 10:29. Chapter 8 has a similar verse though. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. Verse 26, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Why? Because they have the illumination of the Holy Spirit, and they know the truth. They recognize the truth. When they hear the truth, they know it's the truth. When they hear the truth, they respond to the truth. Why? Because they know it's the truth. And why do they know it's the truth? Because they have the illumination of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the illumination of the Holy Spirit, you aren't going to have convictions. You're going to resist convictions. You aren't going to believe the truth. Number three, why should you have a church membership? Because the mixed multitude will lead in murmuring and complaining. Numbers chapter 11, verse number 4, when Israel left Egypt, The Bible tells us about a great multitude of Egyptians who said, whoa, look at this. This is really something. Look at this God. There's Jehovah. Look at the miracles he did. Oh, boy, let's join ourselves to these people. And they weren't saved, but they were attracted to them. They're attracted to their God. And the Bible calls them the mixed multitude. Okay? And the mixed multitude led the murmuring and the complaining. Anytime something tough came around, guess what? Murmuring and complaining. Who was it led by? Mixed multitude. Numbers chapter 11, verse 3. And the place, and he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt free, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. You know, they weren't content to be saved. They weren't content to be the children of God. They weren't content to have a special relationship to God. They wanted the physical. They wanted the leeks. They wanted the onions. They wanted the cucumbers. They wanted the meat of Egypt. You see, they were worldly. They were fleshly and complaining. And they led the complaining. You know why? Because they weren't spiritual people. They didn't have a spiritual mindset. And you know, they didn't think that way. You know, they thought about the physical things, the emotional things. That's what they were concerned. Why? Because that's who they were. They weren't saved people. And whenever there was complaint in Israel, you could name it that the center of it was the mixed multitude, the unsaved people who were drawn to Israel because of the great God that they served. But they'd never been born again. And you study your Bible. Unsaved people are the leaders of murmuring and complaining. Number four. Okay. Isaiah 11:2. Turn there. Isaiah 11:2. You have to have church membership because unsaved people will not typically and cannot vote the vote of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you have a church vote, you aren't voting your opinion. You're voting, should be voting what the Holy Spirit says. Notice what it says about the Holy Spirit in 11:2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Here's the description of the sevenfold attributes of the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And you know what? If you don't have the Spirit of God, you can't vote God's vote. You can't vote God's vote. You can only vote your vote. And what happens if you got a church that doesn't vote? You got people who don't vote the Holy Spirit. You got trouble, don't you? You got real trouble. Got to have the Holy Spirit to have discernment and wisdom to know what God's will is. You know, unsaved person, you know, they're going to vote typically on how it affects them. You know, they're going to vote, no, I don't want to do this because, you know, if we're going to do this, then we're going to have work days, and I don't want to go to work days. I don't want to vote for this because, you know what, then the pastor's going to be asking for some money for that, and I don't want to give any more money. You know, and, you know, but that really isn't what the vote is. The vote isn't whether I give money. The vote is, what does God want us to do? Right? Isn't that what it is? And we're supposed to give ourselves to what God wants us to do. But the unsaved person, they vote how it affects them rather than what God wants. So, number four is they can't vote the vote of the Holy Spirit. Number five, unsaved people don't know if people are saved or not. Unsaved people don't know if people are saved or not. Turn to Romans chapter 8. You know, if you got a saved church member, they're going to have a real hard time saying, so-and-so is not saved. They're going to say, you can't say that. I think they're saved. And they probably might even say, yeah, I think the Pope is saved. They'll say stuff like that. Why? Because they don't know who is saved. Because they don't even know they're saved themselves. Notice it says in Romans chapter 8, I'm trying to find the right verse, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. You know, when you got saved, the Spirit of God lived within you. And you know, when I first got saved, I didn't know much. But when I started going to churches, the first thing that I looked for was saved people. That's what I looked for. I didn't know anything else. You know? And you know, you could start up a conversation in a couple minutes, and pretty soon you'd have a pretty good idea that they're definitely saved, or I don't know if they are. I don't think they are, or they're definitely not. But you know, it's pretty simple. You know, but you know, an unsaved person doesn't know if somebody is saved or not. They can't tell who is saved or not. And you know, a church member is supposed to vote on people to come into the church, and they have to be able to tell if they're saved or not in order to vote them in. And if you don't know if people are saved or not, wow. That's pretty basic duty of a church member. Know who's saved. Number six. Unsaved church members cannot separate from unbelievers. They cannot separate from unbelievers. Well, number one, they can't tell who's an unbeliever or not. And how can they separate from themselves? They certainly aren't going to separate from unbelievers. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, be not only unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Can you imagine an unsaved person saying, hey, we better not get involved in this ecumenical stuff? Can you imagine an unsaved person saying, hey, we're not going to get involved in this ecumenical evangelism? We're not going to get involved in that. Why? Because they don't believe in separation. Because they aren't going to separate from unbelievers. How are they going to separate from themselves? And if you don't have separation, you don't have a Bible church. Number seven, unsaved people will love the world. 1 John says, they are of the world, therefore the world heareth them. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, unsaved people will love the world. How can they love anything else? That's what their nature is. Can you imagine a church that has people in it that love the world? You know, women who want to dress sensual. Men who want to live on the edge. people who feel comfortable in the lifestyle of the world, the nightlife of the world. They're comfortable with that. The Bible says, be holy for I'm holy. I think we could make a whole list here. I mean, this just is not some remote doctrine. Save church membership. You know, people can write that down, you know. They can have a quiz on Baptist distinction, you know, can save church membership. They got it all written down. But it doesn't really mean anything to them. You know, it's just a, you know, something that they're taught. I tell you what, this is a real and important and practical truth. And I guarantee you that a great deal of the apostasy has to do with unsaved Baptist preachers. We had Pastor Brown was here at the ordination council, and he asked the men a question about heretics, the difference between heretics and apostates. And the answer was, well, a heretic is a schismatic, and an apostate is one who has fallen from the faith and isn't saved. And you have to ask yourself the Bible definition of apostate. When a person says that you can be saved by some other means than by faith in Jesus Christ, are they an apostate? You know, Billy Graham says you can be saved by some other way than by faith in Jesus Christ. And what does that tell you? And according to the Bible, were apostates ever saved? No. Never were saved. You see, pretty serious issue, isn't it? You know, the author of the good news for the bad news for modern man, that old Bible out there. He was a drunkard, and he took the blood out of his New Testament called Good News for Modern Man. We call it Bad News for Modern Man. Took the blood out. He didn't believe in the blood. But he's Southern Baptist. He can tell you a day that he was so-called born again. Really? But he didn't believe in the blood. So, boy, this is pretty serious stuff. And the departure in the Bible colleges, the departure in the churches, has to do with unsaved church members. It has to do with unsaved preachers. And eventually, the real them comes out in the open. How do I explain it? I know a preacher. He went to a fundamental Baptist church. He went to a fundamental Baptist college. He went to a fundamental Baptist graduate school. He was an assistant pastor at a leading fundamental Baptist church, and then he became his own pastor. And the further and longer away he is from his beginning, the more and more and more he is departing from what is right. Now, I don't know the answer to this, but you know what I say? I say the influence for good in his life had to do with the men that he was around. But when he was left to himself without the Holy Spirit, now he went to where he really was. Saved church membership is a very important. Now, if you're going to, young men, you're going to be a preacher, and you say, boy, I'm not going to just kind of take this not too seriously. Oh, boy, I guarantee you're going to have big trouble in your church if you want to have a godly church. You're going to have big trouble. You won't be able to have standards. People are going to be resisting the standards, and people are going to resist the preaching, and people are going to try to pressure you to lower everything and lower everything and lower everything, because you'll have important people in your church who aren't saved. And you'll never have the joy of the Lord in your church. You have a crowd, but you won't have the sweet things that comes when the Holy Spirit is in control and people know the Lord and want to follow Him. And this is an important truth. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word of God, and thank You for this important truth. And Lord, this is something that is very serious. And Lord, we don't know people's hearts, but we do know from the Bible that these would definitely be the results of having unsaved church members in the church. And the trouble that, and the lack of spirituality and the lack of blessing that would be the result. And so, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here tonight that hasn't been born again, and they're just coasting on mom and dad's religion or something like that, that, Lord, that You'd really work in their heart, that they would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and give themselves to Him completely and have the joy of a God in heaven who will give them the new birth and make them new. So, Lord, work in our midst. May these be truths that we comprehend and put together in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go to prayer.